Nats Chat is brought to you by Walters. Walters is the best sports bar in Navy Yard, located just across the street from Nationals Park. Also a great place to check out if you're headed to Audi Field.
Make sure to check out their self-pour beer wall and unlimited TVs.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The 2-2 coming to Abrams. Swinging a drive, well hit to right field. This one is back. Yastrzemski looking up. It's got a chance, and it is long gone. C.J. Abrams puts one almost out of sight. Deep right center field. Welcome back to the lineup, C.J. Abrams. Third of the year, Nationals lead 2-1.
Now Rogers again, third base side of the rubber, delivers, swinging a line drive over the leaping Wilmer Flores, a base hit down the right field line, all the way to the corner, off the wall at the 309 marker. Rounding third is Winker. He comes in to score, and standing at second with an RBI double is the catcher Riley Adams. It's now Washington 5, San Francisco 3. And now the set. Finnegan delivers, swinging a ground ball toward short. Abrams has it. He shovels to Vargas. The relay to first in time. It's a 6-4-3 inning-ending, game-ending double play. And a curly W and a series win in the books here in San Francisco.
And welcome to Nats Chat for Wednesday, April 10th, 2024. Along with MassinSports.com, Nationals insider Mark Zuckerman, who is at Oracle Park in San Francisco. I'm Al Galdi, host of the Al Galdi podcast. Well, there is good news with the Nats right now. They now have a 3-game winning streak. Their 9-game trip out west has gotten off to a really nice start. The latest occurrence on that trip, late night on Tuesday night, a 5-3 win at the San Francisco Giants to improve to 5-6 in this regular season. Additionally, C.J. Abrams is back. He on Tuesday night returned from a 3-game absence, and he once again was very good. So there is good news, but the good news takes a backseat to the bad news. The Nationals starting pitcher for late night on Tuesday night in game two of this 3-game series at the Giants was supposed to be Josiah Gray, but the Nats starting pitcher for this game was not Josiah Gray, as the Nats on Tuesday afternoon placed Gray on the 15-day injured list, retroactive to April 6th, with a right elbow / right forearm flexor strain. Yes, right elbow / right forearm flexor strain. A jarring, frightening development. Now, the encouraging news is that Gray says that the strain is muscular and that an MRI exam showed no damage to his elbow ligament. So those things are good things, but it does not sound like Gray will be back anytime soon. And Mark, when you add in all that happened in this game late night on Tuesday night, Tuesday, which we learned on Seinfeld many years ago, has no feel, for those of you who remember that episode. Well, Tuesday of this week, anyway, had a whole lot of feel. A whole lot was going on this Tuesday.
It had way too much feel for this game. I think I need to floss my teeth with some dento tape like Newman and Kramer were offering in that episode. I mean, I don't even know where to begin. My head's still spinning after everything that happened over the course of, you know, I guess about 12 hours, starting with when Josiah Gray was placed on the IL to everything that happened in the game. Multiple players looking like they may have been seriously injured during the game, apparently not seriously injured as it turned out. And at the end of all that, a victory. You know, they've won 3 in a row and they got this one by doing a bunch of different things. They hit for power. They ran the bases. They executed some big situational hits late in the game, and they got like the ultimate escape act from Kyle Finnegan in the bottom of the ninth to pull that all off. It took a lot to get this win, but at the end of a day that, you know, could have been a really bad day for them as an organization, you had a very good result on the field and some encouraging vibes, I would say, when it came to all of those injuries.
So with Josiah Gray, we don't want to rush to conclusions, but we all know the deal here, right? You hear right elbow / right forearm flexor strain, and your mind immediately goes to Tommy John surgery, especially with what's happening in MLB right now. This is so amazing. You know, we had the conversation that we had for the installment of the podcast that came out this past Saturday morning about, you know, the epidemic of Tommy John surgeries in baseball. And ever since then, we've had this like avalanche of pitchers either needing Tommy John or potentially needing Tommy John. And, you know, you wondered, well, is Josiah Gray now the next guy to fall? Now, I mentioned the at least somewhat encouraging news that came out as the day Tuesday went on. So where do you think we are with Gray? How concerned are the Nats with this situation?
They are very cautiously optimistic about this, including Josiah himself. Let's take you through a couple of things here. Number one, he said he first started to feel something after his start against the Pirates, which would be on Thursday last week.
Well, honestly, after my last start against Pittsburgh, just felt a little more banged up than usual. So worked through it, through a bullpen, and still didn't feel, you know, right.
Tried then a couple days later to throw his bullpen session that he would normally do. So he did that over the weekend, and it was still there. And to his credit, he spoke up right away about that. And I think that may ultimately prove to have been a really important point here. He spoke up very early on in the process, didn't try to push through it. The Nats said, hang on, let's get this MRI. Let's not take any chances. Let's fly Yoana down out to San Francisco with the idea that he may need to take your start for you. We'll find out over time if that did make a big difference, but the early sense is that that may have made a huge difference here. The MRI showed the elbow ligament is fine, intact, as Josiah put it. And what this injury is, now you hear flexor strain, and you hear both elbow and forearm, and it can sound kind of nebulous. You don't really know what you're talking about. These things can sometimes be a precursor or a sign of a larger elbow problem. It does not appear that's the case here. This is muscular. Like you said earlier, the flexor mass is that muscle and tendon area that connects the forearm to the elbow. And Gray himself described it as essentially a muscle strain that is going to need some time to heal. He's going to rest for a little while before they even think about going back out there.
It's sort of just like a dull sort of linger on the muscle, on the pronator flexor mass muscle. Sort of a common thing for pitchers.
But it didn't sound to me like he expects to miss a significant amount of time. I don't think we're talking months here. I think we're talking weeks. Now, there's still some things to go. You know, they still have to see how does he respond to rest and treatment and all that. But all things being considered, he seemed to me to be pretty encouraged and not worried that this is anything really major, which is a huge bullet dodged for them if that does prove to be true.
Very good to hear those things. You know, Gray, we know, has this really impressive track record already of durability. So, you know, that was also part of this on Tuesday. You know, this news comes out, you're scared if you're a Nats fan that this guy may need Tommy John, but also it's like, wow, it felt like immune to injury. He'd been so durable, and now that changes. His first stint on an injured list in his major league career. We know Gray had not pitched well over his first two starts of this regular season. Is there a thought that this injury is a big part of why he did not pitch well, or does one not have anything to do with the other?
He insisted that he doesn't think it had anything to do with it, that he didn't really feel anything until after the game in Pittsburgh, certainly not anything in Cincinnati, the first start that he made on opening day. Now, I don't know, maybe in some respects, you would almost rather him have said, yes, it did cause it, because then that tells you that the poor results were simply a product of not being 100% healthy. And in this case, he's essentially saying, well, no, actually, I just wasn't good in those games. So maybe that's not the answer actually you do want. But he said it didn't really become an issue until after that second start. Obviously, he didn't pitch well. He wasn't happy with that. Like you said, I think it's really significant here that this is the first time he suffered anything. He had 1 6-week stint in the minors with the Dodgers with a shoulder issue, and that was it. And he said that after that happened, he sort of vowed to himself, like, I never want to do that again. I never want to go through another prolonged absence like that. Now, there's only so much you can do as an athlete. You can try to protect yourself as much as possible, and sometimes things are just going to happen. But he does pay a lot of attention to his body, his arm, all the work he does between outings. And he took a lot of pride in being able to say that for the last two seasons, since he reached the big leagues, he had never had to miss a start for an injury reason. The Nats skipped a couple of his starts along the way 2 years ago to try to limit his innings. But he had never had to miss a start because of injury. He was very proud of that. And I think this kind of hurts him that now he has to miss at least some with this. But it does seem like it could have been a lot worse. And if we're going to take him at his word, it doesn't seem like this really had anything to do with the way he pitched in those two games.
Hey, Al Galdi here for Window Nation. Baseball season finally is here. Spring finally is here. And that means a great offer from Window Nation for listeners of the Nats Chat podcast. If your windows are cracked or leaking and or won't open or stay open, now is the time to call Window Nation, which is offering the following deal to listeners of the Nats Chat podcast. Two free windows for every two windows that you buy, plus zero down, zero interest, and zero payments for 24 months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com and make sure that you tell Window Nation that you want the deal that you heard about from Al Galdi on the Nats Chat podcast. Upgrade the look, feel, and value of your home with great new Window Nation windows. Window Nation is the best, and take advantage of the offer. Two free windows for every two windows that you buy, plus zero down, zero interest, and zero payments for 24 months. 866-90-NATION or windownation.com. That's 866-90-NATION or windownation.com. And make sure that you tell Window Nation that you want the deal that you heard about from Al Galdi on the Nats Chat podcast.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Here's your Dylan Cruz and James Wood update, and it's a good one. In Altoona, Cruz had his best game of the season for AA Harrisburg, four hits, including a double and a homer. And in Buffalo, James Wood had a pair of doubles for AAA Rochester. A few more notables for the Senators on Tuesday night. Nick Senzel, two hits and a rehab start at third base, and two hits for Robert Hassel III. Now back to the show.
Lipscomb's way off the line at third, the 0-2. Line drive toward the middle. Abrams on one bounce, has it, whirls all the way around, outfield grass, two hops to throw, and Meneses the stretch, picks it out of the dirt, and Conforto is out. Oh, C.J. Abrams acrobatic from deep on the outfield grass, whirled around, and purposely bounced the throw. Meneses digs it out, and they get the third out on a very fine play.
The Nats now are 5-6. Now, the corresponding roster move to the Nats placing Josiah Gray on the 15-day injured list was them recalling pitcher Yoan Adone from AAA Rochester. The Nats did not call up Jackson Rutledge, and I think that's an interesting conversation. But to Yoan Adone's credit, he in this 5-3 win at the Giants late night on Tuesday night, was fine. I mean, I don't want to oversell what he did, but I think given the circumstances, Yoadi Done did what you reasonably would want him to do. One run in four innings. He gave up just three hits, all of which were singles. Now, he did issue three walks. He recorded just two strikeouts. He did throw a good number of pitches, 72 pitches, 42 strikes versus 30 balls. But look, this is a guy who at the major league level these last two seasons has not pitched well. Okay, let's not sugarcoat this. And so you have that. You have this being an emergency start. He goes out there and he gives you one run in four innings. So I think all things considered, you have to be pretty pleased if you're the Nats with what Yoadi Done did in this game.
100%. And, you know, let's explain why he was the guy for this start, not Rutledge, because I had the same thought. And Davey pretty much said at the end of spring training that he believed Rutledge would be the first one to be called up when they needed someone. The timing of this, you had Rochester's had a bunch of rainouts and bad weather, and so they haven't gotten any kind of schedule or rhythm. Both Adone and Rutledge had only made one start so far. For Adone, it was 11 days ago. They want Rutledge to get into a pattern of pitching every fifth day, let him get into some kind of groove, I think, before they make that move. So that was number one. Number two, at the time that they had Adone fly to San Francisco, this was in advance. He didn't just fly in the day of the game. So they clearly knew here at some point in the last 36 hours or so that there was a good chance they were going to need a fill-in starter, but maybe it wasn't 100% certain until they got the MRI results on Josiah Gray. So I think it's telling that they're okay disrupting Adone's pitching routine and pattern and having him fly out here to maybe make a start, but maybe not make the start, as opposed to somebody like Rutledge that they have a bigger vision for in the long run. So I think that had something to do with it as well. I don't know they're going to commit to Adone past this one. You know, I think they're going to sort this all out, figure out where they're at, and make a decision when the time comes next week. Now, I pitched well enough to say, hey, maybe he deserves to go back out there again. I think the next start, unfortunately, though, would come at Dodger Stadium. I don't know, it's a good assignment for anybody, but certainly given Adone's track record, I don't know if that's the place you want to be throwing him into. I'm not sure. But I don't think that him being called up for this indicates that he's guaranteed to make every start until Josiah Gray is ready to come back. I think this was a temporary short-term fix based on what the scheduling and the circumstances were. And I would not be surprised if ultimately it's Rutledge, whether it's a week from now, 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, whatever that is, that would end up taking over this spot, at least in the short term.
So if you're keeping score like you would a baseball game of all of these Nationals developments on Tuesday, we had Josiah Gray, we had Yoadi Done and not Jackson Rutledge, and then we had the Nats bullpen in this 5-3 win at the Giants. The bullpen on its own is worthy of an entire show. So five Nats relievers combined to allow two runs, one earned in five innings. We've been talking about how, boy, it would be nice if the starters could last longer in games. You know, the bullpen wouldn't have to be leaned on so much. Well, now Josiah Gray, your best starting pitcher, certainly if you go by last season's results, he's going to be out for at least a little while. Nats do have an off day on Thursday, so that'll help. But five relievers end up being used in this game. Two runs, one earned in five innings, good. But the relievers in this game gave up seven hits and two walks and recorded just four strikeouts. And you had big time drama with Kyle Finnegan. Now, he ultimately tossed 1 1/3 scoreless innings for the save, but getting that save was not easy. So he came to the game in the bottom of the eighth with a runner on first, two outs, and the Nats nursing a 4-3 lead. Issued a walk, issued a two-out, five-pitch walk of Patrick Bailey, but then induced a lineout by Nick Ahmed to left fielder Jesse Winker for the third out. Then came the bottom of the ninth, during which Finnegan allowed each of the first three batters he faced to reach base. He gave up a leadoff opposite field single by Jung-Hoo Lee through the left side of the infield. Finnegan then gave up a first pitch single by Wilmer Flores to left field. And then came the worst of the three, Finnegan issuing a 9-pitch walk of Jorge Soler, who Finnegan at one point had down 0-2. But Finnegan found a way out of this. Bases loaded, nobody out. Finnegan escaped unscathed, induced a fielder's choice grounder off the bat of Michael Conforto for an out at home. And then came the gift from the baseball gods. Walter Johnson, Frank Howard, et al. Were smiling down upon Kyle Finnegan on this night. Finnegan induced a game-ending 6-4-3 double play off the bat of Matt Chapman. There is a lot more to get to with the bullpen, including what happened with Hunter Harvey, but just the Kyle Finnegan outing. Wow, what a ride Kyle took us all on late night on Tuesday night.
I don't know if Chad Cordero was watching this. He lives out on the West Coast, so he may have had this one tuned in because it wasn't late night for him, but I'm sure he had a smile on his face because he was involved in more than a couple of these kind of save situations. Load the bases and then get yourself out of it the way that Finnegan did. Look, I'll be honest, given what we have seen from Finnegan, particularly the game in Cincinnati and some other shaky ones since then, I wasn't all that confident that he was going to get out of this thing. I certainly figured at least one run was going to score, maybe the tying run as well. So for him to get out of that without anybody crossing the plate, that was huge. The Soler at bat was a real battle. And this is a guy who killed the Nats last year when he was with the Marlins. So I think Finnegan was particularly invested in that at bat and not wanting to give in to this guy. And so when he did walk him, as troublesome as that is, I think deep down he almost felt like, well, okay, at least he's not going to be the one to beat me on a game-winning homer. You know, we got the bases loaded now. Let's try to get out of this against the others. And once you get the bases loaded, his philosophy was get the ball on the ground. You know, he does throw a hard sinker. He was trying to keep it down in the zone, induce ground balls, and it's exactly what he got. I was interested. We were all in the press box on the first one, the comebacker. He flips it to Riley Adams at the plate, and Adams thought for a split second about going for the double play at first and then held up. And we were all thinking, like, why wouldn't you make that attempt? Go for it. And then in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, you know what? He doesn't want to throw it away. Now, all of a sudden, the game is tied if he does that. And the double play is still in order at that point. You have a force out at every base. Maybe it wasn't the worst thing to play that conservatively. And then wouldn't you know what happened? Ground ball to short, Taylor made the easier double play 6-4-3 to get out of it. So I don't know if in the big picture it makes a difference for Kyle Finnegan to get out of something like that or not. I just know that when the situation arises again, and surely it will at some point, at least somewhere in the back of his mind, he can think to himself, hey, I've been here before. I got out of it. It can be done. It doesn't always have to be disaster once I start putting guys on base. But whew, that was a roller coaster ride of a bottom of the ninth.
Yeah, Kyle Finnegan has been there before. I would argue he's been there too much. He has visited this place too much. And I think this is part of the issue with Finnegan. When he's good, he's really good. But he too often isn't as good as you want him to be. And there's too much drama. He has a lot of outings like this. And I mean, a salute to him for escaping this. But man, you are flirting with disaster when you do as he did in this game. Now, Davey Martinez summoned Finnegan for a four-out save because of what happened with Hunter Harvey. Bottom of the eighth, Harvey faced three batters, got two outs. He recorded two outs, but then gave up a two-out infield single by Mike Yastrzemski on a line drive that went off Harvey's left hand, his glove hand. And then Harvey, in trying to make the play, slipped and fell.
Harvey, the 0-1, swung on, shot, knocked down by Harvey, rolling back toward the plate, and then he slips and falls down, trying to make the play, and he felt that one, got him on the left wrist, and out comes Davey Martinez and Paul Asar, the Nationals Director of Athletic Training.
That almost seemed as dangerous as him getting struck by the baseball, because that's how you tear a knee or an ankle or, you know, something like that. Now, I know Davey, during his post-game session with you guys early Wednesday morning, said that x-rays on the hands of both Harvey and Joey Gallo were negative. Gallo got hit by a pitch in the top of the eighth, but where are we with Harvey here?
Looks like he dodged a bullet as well. That looks scary. And just knowing him, the way he reacted to it made me think that he knew it was bad. Or at the very least, he was really frustrated. We know the injury history, and we know in a lot of cases for him, it has been freakish stuff. It's not, oh, he's just, his arm is worn down and something went wrong, but like just weird things. And this certainly qualified. He was in self-defense mode, trying to get his glove up to prevent being hit in the face. Davey even said initially he was worried that the ball got him in the face somewhere. It didn't, thankfully. The force of it knocked the glove off. And Hunter said his hand went numb. So it's not like he could even hold on to the glove at that point. Agreed, weird thing where he's going for the ball and he like slips and you're like, what's going on here with all that? The x-rays were negative. It is swollen. This is the kind of thing that like you got to wait, I think, 18, 24 hours and see what it looks like the next day. But nothing broken. It is his glove hand as opposed to his pitching hand. So that's maybe a little bit encouraging there. So I think they avoided anything really bad there, but it may be the kind of case that he's going to need a few days at minimum just to let the swelling go down. I guess the good news is it was an off day. on Thursday. So if they can get through Wednesday's game fine, then that's 2 days off, and maybe come Friday or even Saturday, he's good to go again.
Also with the Nats bullpen in this game, Robert Garcia, another good outing, scoreless bottom of the fifth, two strikeouts. Jordan Weems, bottom of the sixth, allowed two runs, one earned, gave up three singles, including a two-out Nick Ahmed single on which a two-run scored, thanks in part to a throwing error by right fielder Lane Thomas. The single by Ahmed was an opposite field single on a weak grounder through the right side of the infield, and Dylan Floro tossed a perfect bottom of the seventh.
Tim Shover's here to tell you about Game Time. Now that the Steven Strasburg saga has been settled, it's time to look ahead to the fifth anniversary celebration of the World Series as Houston comes to town April 19th through the 21st. Get a panoramic view of your seat on the Game Time app or website before you buy so you can make sure you'll be satisfied on game day. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code NATSCHAT for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code NATSCHAT for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Breaking ball swung on, line drive, left center field. Base hit for Abrams. Young speeding around third. He will score. Conforto up with it. Will play it into second base. And C.J. Abrams has done it again. A two-out, two-run homer in the third. A two-out RBI single here in the fifth. And he has driven in all three runs for the Nationals. And it's now the Nationals 3 and the Giants 1.
The Nats offense in this 5-3 win at the Giants, not necessarily good, but did end up being good enough. Now, the Nats in this game had just 8 hits and no walks, but the Nats went 3-for-8 with runners in scoring position and got some big extra base hits, including from the returning C.J. Abrams. And if not for everything else, Abrams being back and again being impactful would be the lead item on this installment of the podcast. But such is life that Abrams gets pushed back a bit. But he returned from a 3-game absence caused by a left pinky bone bruise. Back in there as an at-starting shortstop and number one batter, 2-for-4 with a 2-run homer and an RBI single. Abrams in the Nats 2-run third, a 2-out 2-run homer to right center field, nearly into McCovey Cove for a 2-1 Nats lead. This was a tremendous homer, 423 feet per Statcast, and the homer came despite Abrams having been down at 1.02. And then Abrams in the Nats 1-run fifth, a 2-out opposite field RBI single to left field for a 3-1 Nats lead despite having been down in that count at 1.12. He did then get thrown out in an attempt steal of second base, but more good hitting from C.J. Abrams. His OPS for this regular season is up to 1,088, and it is feeling like we are seeing this guy blossom, that we are seeing this guy become the player who he was drafted to be by the Padres and then traded to be, acquired via trade to be, when the Nats got Abrams as part of the package for Juan Soto. But man, C.J. Abrams misses 3 games, comes back, and it's like he was never gone.
This is who we saw the second half of last year, and maybe even more than that. The combination that he is showing them of that power and speed is a rare gift, and it's a really valuable gift to have in this sport. That home run off a lefty, a tough lefty. I'll admit, I didn't know anything about Kyle Harrison coming into this one. I was really impressed. He had really good stuff, and he struck out, what, 6 of the first 7 batters he faced in this game. So for Abrams to be able to turn on a lefty like that and drive that ball, when they said 423, I didn't believe it because there's a sign right there that says 415 at the base of the wall, and he hit it way up to the back row. It's not real deep there, but it's high compared to where the point on the fence is. So that was a titanic blast for him under the circumstances off a tough lefty, and then a good quality at bat after that for the RBI 2-out single. And you're seeing it all come together for him. There is nothing to stop this guy from being a star shortstop in this league. And we know there's a lot of star shortstops and they're some of the biggest names in the sport. He has the ability to be right there with any of them. He is a difference maker in so many ways. And while they did get by without him the last couple of days, his return made such a difference. It's a presence in the lineup that I think is hard to duplicate. So to me, that was a huge thing to get him back and certainly did not miss a beat at all in this game.
Yeah, now Lane Thomas did cool off. He was in that number two spot in the lineup, 0 for 4 with a strikeout, had the throwing error. You get those two guys going at the same time, and you really have something nice, to say nothing of, you know, if Joey Gallo continues to do well, although he went 0 for 3 with a strikeout in this game. Now, also key for the Nats offense in this game was Jacob Young. He has been the Nats starting center fielder with Victor Robles out, and Young on Tuesday night as the Nats starting center fielder and number 9 batter, 2 for 4, 2 singles, and he went 3 for 3 with stolen bases. We are seeing the Nats really take advantage of the running game here in this early portion of the season. Young in that Nats two-run third, a two-out single up the middle. He then had steals of second and third base. Young in the Nats one-run fifth, a two-out opposite field single to right field and a steal of second base. We know that he can run. He was the Nats 2022 minor league base runner of the year, but good stuff from Jacob Young.
He's done a nice job filling in here for Victor Robles. Got a chance to start a few games because they've been facing a bunch of lefties. And you see like what he is capable of doing. If he can get on base, he did a nice job to get on base twice. And then even on one of those, when he gets picked off, he just kept running and beat the throw to second base. So that's not something that everybody can do. This is a remarkable stat, I think, for the team. He's now the fourth player on the Nationals this season in 11 games to steal three bases in a game. Four different guys, three stolen bases in 11 games. There's only three other players in the majors that have three stolen base games right now. The Nats have four on their own. And I'll tell you what, this is becoming their identity. This is who they want to be. If you can't beat them with power, and we know that's not really their strong suit, you got to have other ways to do it. If they can run the bases like this, execute fundamentally in spots like they did late in this game to score those runs and have the occasional home run at the right moment like you had with Abrams in this case or Lane Thomas the night before, that's a way that you can be a productive offense. You don't have to do it only with the long ball. Yes, you would love to have that ability, but they don't have that and they know that. They're trying to find different ways to do it. And given what the rules of the sport are right now, this isn't such a bad way to go about it. They have some really good athletes out there, a bunch of them who can make a difference with their legs, and we're seeing it already in the first 11 games of this season.
The Nats do have a nice collection of guys who are adept base stealers. You know, guys who you look at and you say, okay, I could see that guy if he gets the requisite playing time finishing with 20, 30, 40 steals. You know, Abrams stands out that way. Jacob Young stands out that way. Lane Thomas can run. I mean, you have multiple guys on this team who can run. And I also want to highlight Riley Adams. Man, it feels like every time this guy gets an opportunity to play, he does something good, certainly offensively. And we're seeing a decent amount of Adams in this early portion of the season. And Adams, as an Nats starting catcher on Tuesday night, number 6 batter, 2 for 4, RBI double and a single. One run 7th, had a single to shallow right center on a 1-2 pitch. And Adams in a one run 9th, full count, opposite field, RBI double to right for a 5-3 Nats lead. That was a nice and needed insurance run for the Nats in that 9th inning.
It was a big hit and against a tough pitcher. It's one of the Rogers twins. I don't know which one it is, Taylor or Tyler. I can't keep track of him. It's the righty who throws sidearm. And our position at the press box here in San Francisco is right behind the plate and low. And it's the best view in the majors for seeing pitches and the movement of them. And to see this guy coming from the side, the movement he was getting, I give Riley Adams so much credit for hanging in there through a long at bat, fouling off some tough pitches, and then lining that one to right for the RBI double. That, I think, proved to be a very important insurance run. It gave Finnegan that little extra cushion in the ninth that he knew, hey, it's okay if I give up one of these runs with the bases loaded. That's not the important one. Just don't give up two. That kind of stuff is important. That's why I said what impressed me with the Nats in this game offensively, you had the power from Abrams, you had the base running that allowed some more runs to score, and then you had execution late in the game from Riley Adams, from Trey Lipscomb with a sack fly that was ultimately the go-ahead run. Even a couple of productive outs from Ildemaro Vargas, even though they were little tappers back to the mound and to first base, but that advanced runners in scoring position. They did all those things well in this game. for this lineup, that's how they have to do it to score runs, because we know they're not going to come in bunches with home runs.
Random question, and this isn't that big of a deal, but man, we're not seeing Eddie Rosario here these last few games. What's going on there?
I was wondering that myself, like, could anything be going on? That they faced four lefties in a row. So I think that's part of the equation, that it's pretty clear there are, you know, platooning there. And so it's been Jacob Young. Before that, it was Victor Robles. I thought maybe we'd see him off the bench pinch hitting late in the game. We didn't. They are facing a righty in the flamethrower Jordan Hicks on Wednesday. So I would assume he'll be in the lineup. If he's not, then there's a question to be asked of what's going on with Eddie Rosario.
Well, the Nats do have a chance to author a three-game sweep at the Giants. Game three Wednesday afternoon at 3:45. Patrick Corbin will be the Nats starting pitcher. And look, 5-6 through 11 games, I think most Nats fans would have taken that. And you have a chance to have a nice nine-game trip out west. You think about what could happen on Wednesday. You think about the next opponent, the Oakland/Sacramento/Las Vegas A's. Look, it's baseball, so who knows what happens, but that's an opportunity to win a series. I know that the trip ends with the Dodgers, so we'll see what happens there. But, you know, the notion of the Nats going, I don't know, 5-4, maybe 6-3 on this trip, it's not that far-fetched. That would be a great thing to see.
Yeah, it's not. And I'll tell you what, we saw this last year. They were a better team on the road. They seem to play well on the West Coast for whatever reason. I don't know why that is, but they're starting to come together. And I think starting to build a little bit of an identity of who they are as a team. They're not perfect. They've got plenty of flaws about them, obviously. Some injury concerns now cropping up. But they have an ability to win games in a different way than we've seen from in the past. And every time they win a game like this, there's some growing confidence, I think, in that clubhouse as well.
All right. So we've talked about how we this season are putting forth shout outs for listeners of the Nats Chat podcast. You can email Tim Shovers if you'd like to have one done for someone who you care about. The email address is natschatpodcast@gmail.com. We have a very special shout out that we want to deliver right now. This comes from Andy, Carol, and Kira. And it is a happy birthday shout out to the man who runs the Nats Chat podcast, the face that runs the place, Tim Shovers. A very happy birthday to you from not just your family, but also from Mark and myself. Tim puts in a lot of work for this podcast. This podcast was his vision. He is the man who is responsible for this thing being what it has become. I give Tim a ton of credit for it. I think we all appreciate the work that he does. And Tim, you work a lot, so I don't know to what extent you can enjoy your birthday, but to whatever extent you can enjoy your birthday, please do, and have a happy birthday.
Well, I'm just thinking as you're saying that, I'm looking at the clock on my laptop here, Al. It's 2:13 a.m. on the East Coast. We're going to wrap this up here in a couple minutes. And then Tim is going to work on the editing and production of this episode to make it sound as good as it does. That's how he's starting out spending his birthday. He means everything to us. He is the reason this podcast exists. And I was thrilled to get the shout out request from his parents, Carol and Andy, who I got a chance to meet last year in Atlanta. Great people, big baseball fans for a long time. You can see where Tim got it from. We did this. We went rogue. He didn't know we were doing this. And he's going to get now a chance to edit his own birthday shout out into this episode. So thank you, Tim, for everything and happy birthday.
Hit us up on X at @Nats_chat. You can email the show, natschatpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on YouTube. Just search Nats Chat. Our YouTube handle is @NatsChatPodcast. We have a website that we invite you to check out, natschatpodcast.com, at which you can buy a Nats Chat Podcast t-shirt. And we appreciate the support very much. All Nationals radio highlights on Nats Chat are courtesy of 106.7 The Fan. For Mark Zuckerman, I'm Al Galdi. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next time on the Nats Chat podcast.
What's today?
It's Thursday.
Really? Feels like Tuesday.
Tuesday has no feel. Monday has a feel. Friday has a feel. Sunday has a feel.
I feel Tuesday and Wednesday.
All right, shut up, the both of you.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.